simply not be heard by the thousands of people who've loved it for years and rely on it in their lives now more than ever. Be a part of the essentials. Support the essential music you love right here on community-supported KGNU. You can donate securely at kgnu.org.
Support comes from Ozo Coffee, with locations in Boulder and Longmont. Ozo Coffee is fresh roasted weekly and offers wholesale and office programs. Ozo Coffee is a sponsor of the Charles Sawtelle Memorial Mountain Jam Safer at Home Edition on Sunday, July 19th. Information about coffee, merchandise, and delivery is online at ozocoffee.com.
And you're listening to a very special edition of Highway 322. This is Desdemona Finch, and it's our summer fun drive for the radio, community for the radio. And we have a goal tonight. We have a goal of two donations, please, if you could, $60 each, if you can do it, or whatever combination thereof. That's $5 a month for just, you know, our music. It's an exciting time. Lots of interesting things happening in the world. And tonight, this is a special show because I'm a big fan of Amy Rigby, the OG mod housewife. So I figured, why not? And later this evening, there will be a special guest. So tune in and keep tuning in. And if you haven't heard of her, you have to hear of her. Anyhow, up next, here's some Amy Rigby on KGNU.
Something new. From day one, we could not be parted. You had me, and honey, I had you. We got a little place between us. Not much, but we could call it home. We lived on beer and kisses, all hopped up on love and foam. Get home from work, turn on the lights, sit on the couch, spend the whole night there. Get home from work, turn on the lights, sit on the couch, spend the whole night there. We grew a little couch potato. You said she looked just like me, but so kisses didn't flow so free. At night you were tired from working. You thought all I did was play. You drank your beer in the kitchen. I'd sit on the couch and pray. Get home from work, get in a fight, sit on the couch, spend the whole night there. Fight, sit on the couch, spend the whole night there. My dear, I have much to tell you. It's sad how we both forget the thing we had for each other way back when we first met. Let's put all the bad behind us. Tonight when you come home, just bring me beer and kisses. We'll get high on love and foam. Get home from work, make it all right. Sit on the couch, spend the whole night there. Get home from work, make it all right. Sit on the couch, spend the whole night there.
this enlightened age. If you ain't like this, you can't kick ass in Tevas. Men in sandals. Grandfathers, frat brothers, rich guys and hicks. Finding new ways to make us suffer. Fewer men in sandals. I'm like-
dial your operator. Please hang up now. This is a recording.
Kept playing on and on and on and on. KGNU is proud to announce the 32nd annual Charles Sawtelle Memorial Mountain Jam, Safer at Home Edition. The event will get started at 12 p.m. and will run till 3 p.m. featuring three Colorado bands. The Cody Sisters blend Americana, gypsy jazz, folk, and bluegrass together in a completely unique way, creating a modern Americana roots sound. The River Arkansas delivers a mixture of heartfelt country, blues, folk, and Americana, inspired by the Arkansas River. And rounding out the day is Beauregard, the local band who has taken the Colorado bluegrass world by storm. Sweet and mournful vocal harmonies join nimble picking and strikingly original songwriting and arrangements that combine old-time music, progressive new acoustic music, and bluegrass into a truly unique sound unlike anything else on the Front Range of Colorado. The event is free thanks to the generous support of our sponsors, the Boulder County Census 2020 Campaign, Ozo Coffee Company, Hazel's Beverage World, the Boulder Arts Commission, and Colorado Creative Industries. RSVP for the video link by July 18th at noon. Donations are welcome and appreciated, as all funds raised from the Charles Sawtelle Memorial Mountain Jam directly benefit KGNU. Reserve your spot now at kgnu.org.
And you're listening to KGNU. This is Highway 322. This is our special retrospective of the career of Amy Rigby. She's kind of a folk, Americana, you know, rock chick who's been around for a while, ever since she had some solo albums, started her solo career in 1996 with Diary of a Mod Housewife. And since then, she's teamed up with her husband, Reckless Eric, and done a few duo albums there. And you just heard from her doing off her Little Fugitive album from 2005, I think. Somewhere around there. Maybe, yeah, it's somewhere. I have these notes, and they've just flown out the window. Dancing with Joey Ramone off Little Fugitive. Before that, we heard some Sarah Hickman doing Amy Rigby's Are We Ever Gonna Have Sex Again? Which I think was off Till the Wheels Fall Off the Road, or Till the Wheels Fall Off, that album. And that was Sarah Hickman's Motherlode album from 2006. Before that, we heard some, more Amy Rigby off her 18 Again, an anthology, Road Hard, which originally appeared on Middle Lessons in 1998, I think. And before that, Men in Sandals. Just very funny stuff. Typical Rigby lyrics, just very witty and just very interesting instrumentation and everything. That's off Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby that came out in 2008. And to start all off, we had some Beer and Kisses that originally came off the Diary of a Mod Housewife that's included in the 18 Again, an anthology on Koch Records. There she is. In the background, you're hearing the Summer of My Wasted Youth. And pretty soon, the next 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to be talking to the OG Mod Housewife herself, talking about her latest memoir, which is Girl to City, and it's kind of a love letter to New York City and the New York City music scene in the late 70s and 80s, and just kind of just her history and band she's been in. Before she was solo, she was in the great band The Shams, who were a trio of women singing beautiful harmonies. I think Trouser Press said that they were a precursor to Americana. And then we had, they had The Last Roundup. They had an album called Twister that was on Rounder Records. That was definitely kind of a precursor to Americana. It was very cowpunk. And out of New York City, of all places. So it just seems there's always country music in New York City at one point or another every decade. So up next, I got some more stuff. Here's some Ronnie Spector doing Amy Rigby's All I Want here on KGNU.
I feel a little ill at ease with how you've been treating me. I'm not some kind of disease for you to cure. Oh, baby, I wake up at 7 a.m. door again, and when you come back, you can't even say one kind word, and I
And you're listening to KGNU, Highway 322, and you just heard from Laura Cantrell, Don't Break the Heart. And then, wait a minute, we have to get all this stuff out of here. Yeah, that's our background music here. Yes, you heard Laura Cantrell doing an Amy Rigby tune that came off of Diary of a Mod Housewife back from 1996. This was off a cover that Laura Cantrell did off When the Roses Bloom Again in 2000. I think 2002, around there. And we had some Ronnie Spector doing All I Want off her album The Last of the Rock Stars in 2009. And, you know, this is our pledge drive. We're having a summer pledge drive. It's building community through radio, and your support makes it possible for KGNU to produce music that inspires communities across the Front Range and elsewhere. So give us a call. No, you can't give us a call. Sorry. KGNU.org. We have a show goal of $120, two donations at $60. That's all we need, or one donation, whatever you want to do. But we just, you know, we kind of interrupted our last pledge drive, rather COVID did. And we're just getting back because you're not going to hear this kind of music on commercial radio stations. You're going to hear it at the community radio station. So with that, I'm going to hook up Amy Rigby, and we're going to talk, and hopefully I will not hang up on her again. We're hoping. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this. We're going to try. Amy?
I'm here.
Oh, great. You're here. Terrific. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hear you.
That's good. What's going on? I heard you had a real nasty brush with the COVID.
Well, my husband and I both had it. He was sick, but I all I ever lost was my sense of smell.
Yeah.
you know, I had that symptom, but he was pretty sick for weeks, and then he had a heart attack.
Oh, Lord.
Which they said was a direct result of the coronavirus. So anyway, yeah, it's been pretty intense, but we're doing okay.
That's good to hear. I just wanted to talk to you about your new memoir and Girl to City, which I've been listening to on Spotify, but I read it too, and it's just like a love letter to New York City and the music scene, the 70s, 80s, and then you talk about a lot of things throughout your career. I mean, how long did it take you to write it?
I guess all in all, it took off and on 10 years. So thankfully I started it when I could still really remember all this stuff. Looking at it now, I'm just like, how did I remember all these details? But I do have a pretty good memory, and I have a lot of journals and, of course, songs. I have all, you know, just like records I've made and demos I've made for, you know, all those decades. But it was I'm so glad I did it. I'm glad you know, that I didn't give up. It was way more work than I ever imagined it could be.
I'm sure it was. Didn't you take a memoir class with, was it George Maynard?
I definitely, I got in touch with her years ago. Loved her writing from back when I was a kid. Like, I remember she published an essay called An 18-Year-Old Looks Back at Life. And I think it was in the Times, or they might have had it in 17 magazine as well. When I was, you know, probably 13 or so, I read her. And so I've been a fan of hers forever. She had a column called Domestic Affairs, which was a big influence on me. It was a syndicated column where she wrote about being a mom and just back when it wasn't sort of something anybody did or was allowed to talk about.
Yes.
Except like Irma Bombeck, who I loved, but mm-hmm. you know, she was she was more my mom's generation.
So
eventually I got in touch with Joyce and ended up like getting to go to one of her memoir workshops and you know, just did all sorts of things to just like learn how to write and learn how to put a book together. And I'm so glad that I managed to stick to it and get it done.
Yeah, it has turned out really well. I think it should be a movie. I mean, I think it'd be a great movie. I was reading something. What was it? The book by Philip, who was he? The Post reporters about Trump and all this stuff. And I was like, this is depressing. I can't read this anymore. I was like a very stable genius. And I looked at that and I just said, I have got to read something. It's not going to make my head explode. And it was really,
oh, that's good.
I know. It was
great.
It was
like an escape.
It really was, you know, the details were so good. Like when you were describing CBGBs, I remember when I lived in Brooklyn, oh my God, CBGBs. One night, it was like 2004, I was supposed to go see Steve Earle. And I thought, the bathroom, because it was frightening. And I went there and they were like diverting everyone to the CB's gallery. And I was so happy because I was ready just not to drink beer or drink anything for days.
Right.
So I wouldn't have to deal with it.
Right. And by the by the 2000s, that was like decades of just disgustingness.
I know. It was like, you know, I love you, but God, it's scary. I mean, maybe I just have a thing about portalettes and you just gross. I mean, that was an inspiration, I swear, for Train Spotting. For that scene out of Train Spotting, because it was just, whoa. But I think you pretty much started out like you were an art student and you were just, you know, fangirl for a while there, just listening, taking it all in. How was that experience? Because you saw a lot of really great people before it was they were huge.
I just was kind of like haplessly, you know, in the right place at the right time. I really loved music when I got to New York, but it was, I grew up in Pittsburgh and yes. It was more like arena rock. It was more, you know, going to see Elton John, going to see Pink Floyd at, you know, these massive shows. And, you know, there was nothing like
what was going on in New York, in Pittsburgh. So it was just kind of like, well, there's this place called CBGB, and it was so immediate. It was so like you were so close to the performers and mm-hmm. stuff that it just kind of swept me up in the scene. Like I didn't expect to be playing music. I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't have aspirations to actually like get up on stage. But I just felt part of this great thing that was going on.
That's great. And what does your dad think now? Because he was always like, get a real job. What are you doing?
he kind of puzzled over me playing music for all those years. And then he was like, and you want to write a book? Why do you want to write a book? Isn't music hard enough? thankfully, he's so old now that I think he's forgotten in the last year that I actually wrote a book. So for a while he kept asking me if he could read it. And I just kind of kept putting it off because I just felt like, I don't know, I thought there might be some things in there that might upset him. And in the end, I mean, it was a very healing thing for me to write about my relationship with my dad. And by writing about it, I realized how he really did in his way support me and believe in me. That was a wonderful thing about writing this book. As I wrote the scenes of him kind of coming to see me play, I actually got a feeling of peace and sort of understanding of where he was coming from. But I still don't really want him to read the book. So I think I'm safe there. I think he's totally forgotten about it now.
Oh, that's good. Well, I mean, because I know you have two brothers. Like I knew your younger brother, Riley, in D.C.
Oh, you did?
He played
okay.
guitar in a basement of the house I lived in. And he was he's an incredible musician. And now he's a big time producer, too. Apparently he's won all these awards for production, and he's producing a friend of mine. And, you could hear him play guitar, and you're like, how does he get those sounds? Oh, my God, they're so good. And then I saw your other brother, Michael, in the Sit and Die in New York. So,
No.
So your dad didn't give them a bunch of guff?
I have two other brothers, too. So I have four brothers, but I've got the two musician brothers. And Michael, who I was in a band with, and just like he's almost like a twin to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like so anxious and nervous for him to read the book because his memory is even better than like he's got an amazing memory.
Wow.
And I like thought, well, he's going to tell me a bunch of things I got wrong, but all he really said was like, I can't believe I was such a jerk. And I thought like, oh, I hope I didn't like paint you as a jerk. And he said, no. But I just like, kind of he saw himself in the book and he was just always such a stickler for detail. Like when we were in a band, he scolded me for having a suntan.
Oh, no.
and just saying like, that's not a punk thing to do.
That's funny. Over the years, I mean, you start out writing songs, and your songs are so beautifully detailed, and they always have a lot of them have that wry sense of humor, kind of Irish humor, maybe. You think you got that from your dad, possibly?
Yep.
And have you ever had people go, what is wrong with you? Do you need help or something like that? Because you hit these areas that people are like, yeah, like any kind of woman who's middle-aged and who's listened to Invisible, they understand that very well. It's such a good song because it's so real. And the whole like challenges of just, doing what you want to do and not, selling yourself short. And it's just very interesting, themes of your songs. And they're always very funny. So it kind of mixes all these things together. But the detail is just, it's like your memoir. I just noticed there's so much detail in there. I thought, man, I've seen the Shams. I saw them in D.C. at the 930 Club. And then you write about it. And it's like you talk about the rats in the alley. And I thought, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't talk about their smell at the 930 Club. That thing, they had a smell that was so bizarre that I can still remember it today. I think it was just,
wow. I'm taking that. I am kind of remembering going down in the
hole
there.
It's not bad. it was just signature smell. Now it's a huge club, yeah. And you know, it's lovely. But I will never, it was just, that was my fangirl kind of club that I went to when I was younger. And it was really a lot of fun, so I can understand where you're coming from. And also, I have a question about your husband. I know you were in England and you were doing his song. Had he ever met you before, or how did he hear about it?
No, we hadn't met, and I had gone to play in this town called Hull a couple times, and as people have said, like, you don't just happen to get to Hull, like you have to really kind of go out of your way to go there. It's not on the way anywhere, and like if you're driving, it's, you know, just kind of way out of the way. If you're taking trains, you've got to take like a couple trains to get there. But I just kept going back there for some reason, and they liked me there. They have like they're kind of like people from Pittsburgh. They have a really good sense of humor, and they just liked my songs. And so I started playing Whole Wide World sometimes, like Eric's song. And so the promoter that I worked with there, like, put him on as a DJ for one of my shows, because he was like coming to town to do his own show the next night. And so that's where I met him, and I told him I played his song and asked him if he would come up with me and play it. And so he said, like, this song has two chords and both of yours are wrong.
Oh, no. Well.
Because he plays it in E and I played it in, like, A or something. And
oh, God forbid. Anyway.
But so we just kind of liked each other, and I sort of hoped to keep in touch with him after that, but I would just, he was kind of elusive, and people would say, like, other places in England, like in London or something, they'd say, oh, I hear Eric's going to come see you, and he would never show up. And
oh my God.
and I emailed him and never heard back. And then Ira Kaplan from Yola Tango emailed me and said, like, I'm trying to get in touch with Reckless Eric. You know, I hear that you know him, and like, we're trying to get him to come play one of these Hanukkah shows. And I've learned, you know, from being married to him, that the important emails are the like ones that he never gets to, because they're too important, you know. Like, he puts them aside. Like, this one really means, like, I really need to concentrate on this one, so I'll get to this one. You know, those are the ones that sit in a pile that never get answered. But eventually, yeah, we met again at a Hanukkah show, and then just kind of like eventually, it all worked out.
Living together. Oh,
yeah,
that's great. Oh, that's interesting, because I think about your lyrics and everything, and I'm sure that they must do fairly well in Europe, because, or at least England and maybe Ireland and Wales, or where people, their senses of humor are just really sharp, and they do
like them. And Germans, you know, like the European countries where people speak really good English, you know, that, mm-hmm. like they get all the nuance and the subtlety. So, they do really like those words.
Yeah, that's great. And I heard about your daughter. Isn't she a bass player in an emo band or something like that? Electronic band or something?
She did. I guess you could almost call it, you know, like a band that she had was almost like a shoegaze.
Oh, wow.
But,
yes.
now she's a little more prog, she plays the fretless bass through a bunch of pedals, and
oh,
it's
cool.
really more like noise. it's called TBHQ. It's just a solo project that she does now. And yeah, she's a really great musician.
So she joined the family business, essentially.
She did. I know. Even though I
tried to
dissuade her,
but she was with you on tour and everything. So I guess she's seen the good and bad of going on tour and just that life. Obviously, it didn't really sway her away from music.
It didn't put her off. You know, it didn't. The sort of insecurity and all that. Like she's pretty realistic about it all. So, but I think, you know, that was a great thing about writing about my life. You know, the things that, and also just like that, I guess I got older in the time that it took to write the book.
Yes.
And that perspective that made me be able to say, like, yes, it was kind of an insecure life. And, but, you know, it's been like a real kind of like interesting time and just like so many great experiences and great people that I've encountered and just to, you know, be able to like create a body of work and hopefully like keep creating it. It has added up to something, so that, you know, that may that really, you know, people ask, like, is it therapeutic to write a book? And I don't think that that's why you do it, you know, because you don't want, you want it to add up to more than just, like, you know, you're not just, like, vomiting out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to shape it and create something that's, like, a piece of art as well, but in doing that, you hopefully arrive at some truths and things that you couldn't really get to any other way than writing about them. I definitely found that.
Great. Well, I appreciate you talking to us. It's an honor. I've always loved your music, and it's always been very witty. I was re-listening to a bunch of stuff. My question is, if they go to amyrigby.com, is it possible to get some of those old, like Diary of a Mod Housewife and Middle Essence and The Sugar Tree? Because I think they're all out of print.
They're all out of print. I mean, I have, I've done a vinyl version of Diary of a Mod Housewife and also a download. It's not on Spotify. It's not on any of those kind of services, but you can get that off my website. You can buy a download.
Oh, great.
I guess I'll have to do I'll have to do that with the other ones too. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like, you know, anyway, I do what I can to get, like, I don't actually have the rights to those.
Oh,
but,
okay. That makes sense. Because I was looking around and I was like, oh my God. I had to dig up my old Mac and everything. And I was just like, because I have those CDs in storage, but I don't know where. So it was like, oh my God. So I'm really glad to speak with you. And thank you so much for calling. And I hope the book just is a movie soon. Because I'm waiting for the movie now, too.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I think the movie would be just like a natural. I think I'm looking forward to that, making that happen.
Yeah, come on, rich people, you know, invest in this. But thank you so much. And we're going to get back to the rest of the show and hassling people to send us some money. Hey, people, it's July, you know, it's the summer fun drive. Please go to kgnu.org. I mean, you don't have to do it right now, but it'd be good if you could. But anyhow, up next, thank you very much.
Great to hear Laura Cantrell. Also.
Oh, yeah, it's always great to hear her. Yeah. But I'll talk to you later. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And up next, here's some this is a tune called Cynically Yours that Amy Rigby wrote. It was done by the Bats of New Zealand. And this is Live at Natasha's. That's the album, and it's Cynically Yours. So here it is on KGNU, kgnu.org. Come on, people.
I'm going to sing a love song for you now. You know I love you 100% of the amount I'm capable of loving you. And you know I need you to the fullest extent. It's feasible for me to be needing you. I believe in us as much or maybe more than I've ever believed in anything before. In a world full of doubt, don't know what I'm sure about, but you don't suck, so I'm cynically yours. It's true I mistrust you, but don't take it the wrong way. I'm more gullible than I've ever been. And if they held a contest for the person most likely to fall for your bull, I'd probably win. The thought of us together doesn't fill me with dread. I can picture being with you till one or both of us is dead. At the end of the day, I've got nothing good to say, but you don't suck, so I'm cynically yours. I, your loving blank, take you, insert name here, because frankly, I'm just too tired to look around anymore. You drive reasonably well, have most of your own teeth, and not much of a prison record, so that's good. Plus, you claim to love my ass, and I've got a videotape to prove it, which makes me think this thing really could work. However, in the event of our mutual disappointment, we agree to part without the destruction of crockery, automobiles, or each other's good name in print or in song. At the end of the day, I got nothing good to say, but you don't suck, so I'm cynically yours. No, you don't suck, so I'm cynically yours. One more time. You don't suck unless I tell you to, so I'm cynically yours.
Singer from Creed. Cat flap stuck, tower babbled. Hi, my name is Roby Robichaud, and I'm a member of KGNU. In the era of fake news, KGNU brings a refreshing approach to the issues of the day as they provide a variety of news sources. BBC, Democracy Now!, Morning Magazine, plus shows that dive beneath the surface. It's The Economy, Ralph Nader, Counterspin. These shows inform, make you think, they bring awareness and knowledge of what others are doing in many arenas to make the world a better place. And they even have music. Old Grass, New Grass, E-Town, and more. Please support this resource by making a gift at kgnu.org.
And you're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Time for Ragtime America. Or maybe not. Sorry about that. We're going to figure this out right now. Just one second. Let me play some more music.
KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
There we go.
Good evening and welcome to Ragtime America. I am Carl Arman, filling in for Jack Rummel for this evening's Summer Fun Drive version of the show. The music in the background is the Ragtime America theme, which is the Magnetic Rag, written by Scott Joplin and performed by Itzhak Perlman on violin and Andre Previn on piano. As it is now summer, we will be featuring rags with summer themes. Before we continue the music, I wanted to say that you are the you in KGNU, and we are the unity and community. So please put the fun in Fund Drive by going to kgnu.org and clicking on the virtual donate button. After all, you love this joyful music, and like me, you look forward to Jack's program every Thursday evening. During this summer Fund Drive, we are looking for 300 contributions. Will you provide one of the contributions? For your summer ragtime enjoyment, the next five songs are all called Summertime Rag. The first one was written by Juan A. Perez, and it is a clarinet quartet, and it has a calliope sound to it. I hope that you enjoy on this evening's Ragtime America on KGNU.